the guys who've been through Harvard and Yale, who've got MBAs, who spin themselves as being entrepreneurs, risk takers, they're not. If you look more closely at what the CEOs of these corporations do, they're bureaucrats. We're looking at what drives history, and from somewhere around the time of the French Revolution or maybe the Industrial Revolution before it, we've got this idea that history's moving forward quicker and quicker. I guess we all feel these days that it's moving too quick. Before the Industrial Revolution, we had the idea that God's providence drives history. We kind of have no idea what's going on, but God's looking after, and he or she has an idea about what's going on, and things will turn out for the best in the long run. Then we began to get the idea that individual genius, artists maybe like Shakespeare, scientists like Newton or whatever, it's their genius that drives history forward. With Marx, we've got new technologies which are profitable for a group of people, and you've got the idea that either the technologies are class struggles going to drive things forward. And the key thing here is the word techne. It underpins technologies, and it also underpins techniques, which you're going to see a bit more about now. With a technology that works, you've got an if X, then Y. I mean, a thermostat's a great example of it, which is, you can set the machinery, a very simple machine, that if the temperature rises to X, then Y will happen. The heating will be turned on, or the cooling will be turned, well, drops to X, the heating will be turned on. If it goes up to X, the cooling system will be turned on. It's a simple algorithm, a simple reflex. But exactly the same thing can underpin a technique. So I'm distinguishing here between techniques and technologies. They both stem from the same word. But in 1919, or actually a bit before that, you've got Max Weber, whom the liberals, the progressives, the people on the left tend to like as well, although he was a liberal in an old-style sense, as you'll see. He introduced the idea, well, we did get rid of the aristocratic class, and then we had democracy, so-called. But actually, what we ended up with was bureaucracy, government by technique. We set down procedures, if X, then Y. If the person ticks boxes X, Y, and Z, you do A, B, C, or whatever. And Weber was more concerned with the fact that if you've got procedures, and if this solves a social problem, well, there's no end to that, and we can keep putting procedures in place the whole time. And what he was worried about was that the paperwork will come to govern our life. And he talked about an iron cage. We'll get trapped in an iron cage. The word these days will be a deep state. And it was alienating just the way the silk workers thought the new machines were. And he linked it to socialism, where Marx linked technologies to capitalism. So we've got the left and the right sort of essentially concerned about the same kind of thing, the algorithm that's driving things forward. Now, neoliberalism, when you read the histories, we get people referring to the work of people like Friedrich Hayek. Hayek is putting forward the idea, along with other people like von Mises and others, around the late 1930s, early 1940s, that socialism has gone too far, that bureaucracy has gone too far. They were particularly concerned with the Soviet Union and Gosplan, the central planning, which ultimately did go too far and led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. But they were also concerned with social democracy. They didn't think it was a great idea, and they wanted us to get back to the liberalism of the 1840s. Now, the problem, though, is they're not really trying to look at absolutely free markets in the sense that we had in the 1840s. They're looking at the encroachment of bureaucracy. But there's other things going on which makes it impossible to move lock, stock, and barrel back to the 1840s. And one of the things that's going on is the development of computers, which ran in parallel to the meetings of the Mont Pelerin group, which is the group that's usually thought of as being the people who helped create neoliberalism. And the early word for computers in this kind of area was cybernetics. And what this is about is looking at thermostats and taking the idea of a thermostat, a simple machine which will turn the heat on when you need it turned on and turn it off when you need it turned off, and saying, well, look, there's something similar which happens in biological systems. The human body seems able to regulate itself. When your glucose goes too high, something turns it off. When your blood pressure goes up, it also gets turned off and things like that, at least should. You can map these things out in flowcharts like you have here. And these flowcharts became the basis for a new science that emerged after World War II, which was called management. When U.S. troops and officers in particular came back from World War II, they were given a chance to go to Harvard and Yale and get an MBA, which is a new kind of degree put in place to help people who had been managing the troops to manage the factories in the United States afterwards. So this is operational thinking, and if X, then Y type of thinking. This is what you call a left-leaning liberal. That's J.K. Galbraith, who's looking at the free markets and saying the rhetoric in the United States is all about free markets and we need entrepreneurs. But if you look at the corporations we now have and their marketing capabilities, they don't respond to your needs or mine. They give us our wants. The marketing is so good. The other aspect to them is the guys who've been through Harvard and Yale, who've got MBAs, who spin themselves as being entrepreneurs, risk takers, they're not. If you look more closely at what the CEOs of these corporations do, they're bureaucrats. And we haven't, economic theory hasn't taken account of that. We're still acting as though entrepreneurs are running corporations rather than bureaucrats. So, there's a quote here. Hopefully you can read it. Money gave the owner the capitalist controlling power in the enterprise up till about World War II. In large firms, however, the decisive power now lies with a bureaucracy that controls but does not own the capital. And here's Milton Friedman, a totally different beast to Galbraith, on the opposite end of the spectrum, saying, you know, we've replaced democracy, and this goes back to Max Weber almost, with government of the people by the bureaucrats for the bureaucrats. There's talk about rolling back the state, and this is the rhetoric of the Republicans these days, rolling back the state. They talk about the deep state, and in essence, this is essentially what the right looking at why there are changes. When Trump gets into power, he's not able to change the apparatus to open things up in the United States because he's been frustrated by the bureaucrats, the deep state. But equally, a lot of us would feel, well, we've got huge corporations like Google and Facebook who control us, but this is a corporate deep state. We're not able to roll that back either. So we've got similar problems on both sides. Neoliberalism, its core bit starts in Chile in the late 1970s, where you've got inflation in the Western world. Chile has had a coup and a dictator has replaced the elected government, and the economy is a mess between the coup, inflation, and Pinochet turns to the Chicago School of Economics. And to Milton Friedman in particular, and the ideas introduced into Chile, that we can solve the economic problem simply by controlling the money supply, setting up a target, setting up an algorithm. It's rather like a thermostat. Just control the amount of money that's printed, and everything else will take care of itself. Now, the monetarist experiment generally the general view, as I understand it, is it wasn't particularly successful. There's a group of people on one side who said, well, at least the money supply is fine, so really everything's not too bad. And a lot of other people saying the country's a complete mess at the moment. This is not the way forward. This happened in the UK as well. This was the other country that turned to monetarism before it gets called neoliberalism. And this was Thatcher and later Reagan. You heard a lot of talk at the time about they were both pushing deregulation. We've got too many regulations, governments on our backs. We need to burn the regulations, just like we say now, we need to burn the EU regulations. But it wasn't. The key thing here was introducing a money supply target. It's the introduction of a target. And notionally, Milton Friedman, who's a man who said the greatest value of all is freedom of choice, one of the ironies here is that targets don't give you freedom of choice. Targets set up a situation where the only choice we have is to compete with others in respect of the target, to compete with others to fit the needs of the corporations who may have things linked to that target. It's not enabling us, it's not empowering us. And the same kind of target-based approach was introduced in companies. Corporations took a broader view of things, their social responsibilities. I mean, this is putting it in the nicest possible light. I'm not saying they were angels, but there was a sense that a corporation is not just about making money. There are social responsibilities. But what was introduced was the idea that the duty of a CEO is to maximize shareholder value. Everything gets boiled down to a figure. What's the share price worth? And that was, I mean, the idea again is, if that's going the right direction, everything else about the corporation will be okay. It's a bit the same as if the money supply is going the right way, everything else in the country will ultimately be okay. If things aren't okay, if the miners are on strike, are things going wrong and the country's seeming to fall apart, well, that's just the consequence of the fact that we've been inefficient and not running things properly up to this, and there's going to be a period of adjustment. So is this a problem of technologies and techniques, or is it the capitalist class exploiting us? Well, I want to introduce you to, I think, a bit of wisdom that I've been using for 30 years or more now, from Chuang Tzu in 323 BC, who said, "For security against robbers who snatch purses, rifle luggage, and crack safes, one must fasten all property with ropes, lock it with locks, bolt it with bolts. For property owners, this is elementary good sense. But when a strong thief comes along, he picks up the whole lot, puts it on his back, and goes on his way with only one fear, that ropes and locks and bolts may give way." It's the same with targets. If you have a target for the money supply or a target for the share price, it lets people predict what's going to happen next, and they can start betting on it. And you've got the emergence of hedge funds, which lay bets and become so powerful that even a government can say, we're going to ignore you. And this is a little bit of the problem we have. Max Weber distinguished between bureaucrats and leaders. The bureaucrat, the ethic for a bureaucrat is to do what the leader says. Did you say 6 million Jews over here, or did you say 5.9? You know, you don't decide if it's right or wrong to send all these people over here. You just want to make sure you've heard the order properly. That's being an ethical bureaucrat. The ethics for a leader would be to make a decision they take responsibility for.